As you know, over the past few weeks, we've been reflecting on Henry Nouwen's work with burning hearts. And as I hear the gospel today and reflect on the reality of my life and your life, it is clear to me more and more that I think the way for us to come into a burning heart is through a broken heart. And as you and I are more and more open to God's grace in the midst of the reality of our lives and who we are, that God's burning presence and the person of the Holy Spirit can come in ways that are fresh and new for each one of us. And a lot of that really centers in our relationship with the Lord and with one another. Nouwen shares, maybe we're not used to thinking about the Eucharist as an invitation to Jesus to stay with us. We're more inclined to think about Jesus inviting us to his house, his table, or his meal. But Jesus wants to be invited as well. Without an invitation, he will go on to other places. It's very important to realize that Jesus never forces himself on us. Unless we invite him, he will always remain a stranger, possibly a very attractive, intelligent stranger with whom we had an interesting conversation, but a stranger nevertheless. And so my question to each one of us here today as we gather in this place is simply this. Can you begin to move from a stranger to a friend in your own relationship with Jesus? And for those of you here today who might already feel that you have a friendship with Jesus, and I'm sure that's true, what might it look like for you to move even more deeply and more connected in that relationship with the Lord? On the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, as you know, the disciples were walking along the road to that town. And it says in that scripture that Jesus appeared to them, though his identity was hidden from them. He was a stranger. As he asked them what they were going through, because it was obvious to him that they were sad and downcast, they began to share with them the story about his crucifixion and all of the tumult over the past week that had happened. At that point, Jesus begins to open up the Old Testament to them and all of the teachings about him as Messiah that are recorded there. And he begins to encourage them in their faith about who Jesus is in God. And as Jesus is doing that and walking with them, they are moved in their heart very deeply, so much that their hearts, it says, burn within them. They could sense something different. And so because of that, as they are getting toward where they live, and it looks like Jesus is going on away from them, they invite Jesus into their home to stay with them that night. The disciples, not knowing who he really was, urged him to stay with them because the day was almost over. In their invitation to a stranger to stay with them for the night, they were welcoming his presence more deeply into their lives. Their hearts had been powerfully moved by their earlier conversation on the road to Emmaus, and they wanted more of him. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? If you think back to that conversation that Jesus had to them with them on the road, after the disciples shared with them about why they were so downcast, what did he say to them? He didn't say to them, "I understand." He didn't say to them, "I feel your pain." He didn't use the typical counseling techniques that day. He said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe." It was a rebuke. And so in the midst of their own brokenness, in the midst of their own sadness, Jesus challenges them to a deeper faith in him and to walk with them. And so they invite him in. How often someone stimulates our thoughts, gives us new perspective, moves us in significant ways, but we haven't invited them into a meaningful relationship with us. Nouwen observes, it's one of the characteristics of our contemporary society that encounters, good as they may be, don't become deep relationships. Thus, our life is filled with good advice and interesting ideas, but they are simply added to our information overload and leave us uncommitted. This book that Nouwen wrote with burning hearts was written a number of years ago, and yet, I don't know about you, but that one statement to me is timeless and especially applies to the current culture and environment in which we live. You know, we live in a day in which information is everything. and access to information is incredible. And it is growing exponentially, isn't it? In fact, you know, it was a big thing for me a couple of years ago to get a cell phone. I mean, I resisted it. I did not want a cell phone because, to be honest with you, I didn't want people being able to get in touch with me all the time. I liked having some time alone. And, you know, if you wanted to leave a message on the phone, I'd eventually get to you. It'll work out. But I ended up getting one. And then I find out from my son that actually calling and talking to people on the phone now is passé, that it's really about texting and Instagramming, and I'm already behind the times when I got something that I thought was a great step forward. And then there's the cloud. You know, when they talk about the cloud and you can use the cloud to send all your information up to the cloud, I don't know about you, but I look up. You know, I wonder where the cloud is. I wonder where they put it. It's probably some server in Seattle, Washington. That's what it is, right? But there's all this incredible information, and I don't know about you, but I love it. I mean, there's so many different things to learn on the internet, so many new things that people are doing, and it's growing exponentially in incredible ways. But what we hear from now on is that life is more than information. It is more than that. Have you ever walked through one of the malls recently? Maybe you see a family together in a way. A couple of the children, they'll have their earbuds in, listening to their music on their iPod. Maybe mom or dad is walking along looking at the iPad and trying to find the best deal in the mall as they're going through their shopping app. And dad might be looking in the picture window at the painting that's there. And that might characterize as well their evening dinner together. They might be listening to their iPod, they might be watching TV, but there's no real interaction that's going on. And that's what Nouwen is talking about. We are the most informed society, I think, the most informationally connected society that the planet has ever seen. And yet, we are also one of the most lonely, one of the most broken, and one of the most distant from one another. So again, Nouwen is speaking something to us, I think, that is timeless, and that is life is more than information. It is about connecting. It is about being together. And trying to be intentional about that. One of the things that you and I need to hear today in the disciples' invitation to Jesus to come and stay with them is that they were building a bridge. They were building a bridge to him. Even though to them he was a stranger in that moment, they were building a bridge from an interesting relationship to a transforming relationship with him. Now again, think with me about this. These disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had a relationship with him that you and I would never have. They saw the miracle of the fishes and the loaves. I mean, they ate lunch with him that day. Wonder bread, if you will. Miracle fish. Put Long John Silver's to shame. In abundance, right there. They saw that. They saw people healed before their very eyes. They saw demons cast out. They saw people come to him in tears. Adulterers who were shunned by their whole community accepted into his love. They experienced things with Jesus live, right with him, that were incredible, that we read about to this day. And yet, he was still a stranger to them. And may I submit to you that however long you and I have been walking with him, that on some levels, he is still a stranger to us. There are many ways in which you and I both still really need to get to know him and grow closer to him. At the first Eucharist, Jesus was with his disciples in that upper room, sharing a meal of friendship and intimacy in bread and cup. And as he lovingly offered his body and blood with those who embraced him as Savior and Lord, yet there was one at the table who would betray him. As we gather around this altar in just a little bit and receive his sacrifice for us, we too are invited into a loving, trusting, and intimate friendship with our Lord and one another. And the fruit of our actions will reveal the choices that we have made with him. And you know, the reality of that is that in the midst of our lives, whatever might be going on, wherever we may be living, the challenge for you and me is to invite the Lord wherever we are, whether it is into the valley or the mountaintop, whether it is into brokenness or experiencing his tremendous loving provision for us. And as you and I can begin to do that by his grace, and as you and I are open to building a bridge and inviting Jesus more deeply into our lives, we can experience transformation in a way that is deep and powerful for you and for me. And so I want to invite you today, wherever you may be in your relationship with Jesus, for you today, if you're honest with yourself, you may characterize your relationship with the Lord as one of a stranger. You've heard a lot about him. You got a lot of information about Jesus, but you don't really know him. There'll be some of us here today who know about Jesus. Maybe he is our friend, but there are ways in which we need to grow closer to him. And so wherever you are here today, I want to invite you along with me into a time of prayer that we might open ourselves afresh to our Lord and move from being a stranger to a much closer friend with our Lord and one another.